So on the phone with me now, I believe I have Brian Koo. Say it ain't so.
Hey, Paul. Good to see you, hear you. And congratulations on the inaugural episode of Filter.
Thank you, Brian. Yeah, I love when I asked Brian to do this. He said, I've never met a hot mic that I didn't like.
That's right.
Which is me too, usually. That's I can roll with it. You know, it's a little terrifying to be on the air right now, but I'm just trying to think about it because I'm alone in this room, right? With you. Just having a phone call.
That's right, just us. Yep, nobody else.
Well, I really appreciate you being here today, especially given that I think you probably haven't cleared out your voicemails in a while, or you've been probably the most popular man in Jefferson County if you're a small business owner to talk to, I would imagine.
We've been pretty busy, and thanks for the heads up about the voicemail. I got that cleared up, so everyone listening, please feel free to call.
Just call. You can leave messages again. Just as long as they're not angry messages, you can leave them. Well, before we get too deep into this, I got to ask, what is Team Jefferson? What is an EDC? What are you for? Why are you here?
Yeah. Why am I here, and what am I doing? Yeah, no, great question. You know, EDC Team Jefferson, we are the Economic Development Council, and that's what EDC stands for Jefferson County. In Washington State, there is an organization like ours in each county. Sometimes it is an independent nonprofit like we are. Sometimes it's the port, because they have a mandate for economic development as well. And sometimes it's a single nonprofit that serves multiple counties. I think up in Okanagan, there's a conglomerate of three counties that roll up under a single organization. So the why we exist is we serve as kind of the connective tissue between private businesses and public resources, is one way I put it. Another way I put it is, for a business, if they have any questions or any needs, whatever those may be, we exist to find those answers and act as an advocate to help them get the resources they need. So, you know, that's technical assistance. That's me sitting down, not lately, but, you know, doing it via video chat, across the table with business owners and walking through their business plan, helping with financial projections. And I love doing that because my background is in commercial lending. So I love getting into the numbers. It could also be access to capital. So helping businesses get the capital they need to stay alive and to grow.
So you were a big banker before you joined the little guys then, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. Probably small B banker. But I was fortunate to work for a number of local community banks. I got to give First Federal credit for teaching me the dark arts of commercial lending, and really enjoyed my time there cutting teeth in that world. It's a very dynamic world, working with any given loan scenario. No two are the same, and really learning how to do risk analysis and mitigation. So really enjoyed it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it gave you your boots on the ground abilities to help Jefferson County businesses now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been fortunate to be working within Jefferson County, gosh, since 2004. I mean, almost since when I rolled into the area. So it's familiar country for me, for sure.
But a little birdie told me that you don't actually live in Jefferson County, though, right?
That's my dark, dirty secret. That stays between you and me.
Okay. Yeah, I won't tell anyone.
No, I live just down the road in Swim. That harkens to another reason why I'm out here is I met and fell in love with a pretty lady from a town called Port Angeles.
Ooh.
And so, yeah, that's what brought me out here. And 20 years later, still going strong. And we've got three little dudes that bear an uncanny resemblance to me.
Oh, man.
Sorry, guys.
That's usually a good sign, yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure about my kids. They look, one of them sort of looks like me. Just kidding,
yeah,
just kidding, baby.
One of mine looks like the mailman.
Yeah, right? Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, I heard a, what's the word? It's like a maybe it's an apocryphal tale, but I did hear it from a Dane that the Danish stopped the kids in high school used to do genetic testing, like to learn about the science of genetic testing. But apparently they stopped because so many kids are realizing that their parents weren't actually their parents. So it was kind of like a failure of learning there. Like I said, it might be apocryphal, but I was told it by a Dane. So I feel like that gives it some credibility.
Well, and this may be a little bit of a rabbit hole from our conversation, but I don't know about you, but my wife and I know at least a handful of folks who have discovered long lost siblings as a result of doing the genetic testing, you know, the Ancestry or 23andMe.
Yes. So, oh my God.
It's bringing people together.
It truly is. Yeah, I'll tell that story someday, but I have new relatives, not in a bad way. But let's say that 23andMe has definitely increased the size of my genetic family.
That'll be a great episode.
Yeah, we'll have you back for that one. I'm excited. I'm already writing that one in my head. That's going to be July. Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting things to talk about genetics, but you know, in terms of Jefferson County and dealing with the pandemic is almost as interesting to me because, you know, so many of my friends are small business owners and so many just got walloped and nobody was ready for it. And I know it's been hard balancing the real life consequences of COVID with sort of the existential threats. Like what am I protecting myself from? Why am I closed? And I know that's been a hard question for lots of folks to balance who want to have public safety foremost in their mind, but also cannot survive, you know, without help if they are forced to be closed. So
yep.
You were kind of leading the way on these loan programs. You were helping people figure out which ones to apply for. And maybe can you think offhand of how many loan programs came through state and federal governments to help people and not just state and federal governments?
Yeah, no, great question. I would say, you know, at least a handful that are specific to Jefferson County. And those include, of course, the SBA, who came out pretty hot and heavy. And a little disjointed at first. So there's some, you know, pretty attractive loan programs. I got to give a huge shout out to our local Lion Group. That's the Local Investment Opportunity Network. And that is nothing more than an email list of individuals in the community who have varying degrees of wealth and have been lending that to small businesses over the years. And this model started in Jefferson County and has since been replicated all over the country and even internationally.
Wow.
And so they get the street cred for being the originals. But when this COVID crisis was spinning up and, you know, we weren't even having a coordinated conversation about it yet as a nation, Lion jumped in, you know, emails went around and said, hey, you know, what if we you know, look at doing a special program for businesses who either are or are definitely going to be impacted by this COVID crisis, and put together a real streamlined rapid response loan program. And that has helped a number of businesses in the area. A lot of them, you know, got a Lion loan to handle their cash flow needs the next day. And then later, once the SBA, you know, their fits and starts calmed down, they were able to repay their Lion loan with an SBA loan.
Wow.
So really, yeah, it was powerful. And I don't want to speak in past tense. That resource is still available.
So you could still get a Lion loan, potentially.
Absolutely. Yep. Now, the great thing about Lion is it's truly relational-based. You know, unlike a bank, you know, when I was a lender, you know, I got to know the clients and care about the clients, but I think it's reasonable to say that, you know, your loan request becomes a risk profile,
right?
Where you kind of take the humanity out of it and you look at the risk profile of that given business and deal and everything else. But with Lion, it's, you know, they get to know the individual. You know, they may like whatever the business may be, if it's a food, you know, food truck, like, you know, paella food truck, and, you know, Lion members like paella. So, you know, that may motivate them to, to participate with that.
Yeah.
The downside about Line is, and kind of with any commercial loan, but it may just be the wrong time. A deal comes forward or a business is coming forward with a need for capital, and, you know, members may have their money tied up in, you know, something else, and or just may not have an appetite for that type of business. So you never know, but I certainly encourage people to give Lion a shake when they're seeking capital, because it's some of the best around, if you will.
Yeah.
Comparing sources of capital.
So they could just Google Lion Port Townsend and they would be able to find like an application or something like that?
Yeah, they can reach out to us. We act, the EDC, we volunteer as the administrative function for Lion because it's not a legal entity. It's, like I said, at the end of the day, it's an email list. But they can also go to l2020.org and there's links to applications for Lion there. So,
and you're saying
I'm happy to chat with.
And it doesn't have to be COVID related. This could be for any kind of business loan or new business loan.
Yeah, great question. So Lion's bread and butter is just a standard loan application and program, either for a startup business or an existing business. However, they've also created a more streamlined program that is targeted specifically to COVID. So it looks at what's your need caused by COVID over the next few months. And then, you know, back that into a loan amount and, consider each lender is different. Each Lion member, negotiates their own terms. So it's as flexible as that specific lender is able or willing to be. So pretty powerful stuff.
That's great.
You can tell I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Well, I think that one of the things we hear about the most in terms of news on business assistance is PPP loans. And the biggest one that I can think of, were those in your mind, to your understanding, were those, a success here in Jefferson County?
Yeah, I would say overall. And that's the optimist in me speaking. So, you know, again, fits and starts with all the SBA programs. Really it was, good intent by the government, pushed through, formal and, monolithic channels. Maybe that's being unfair, but it was very clunky in terms of, the rollout, and especially when met with the wave of need. But I would say, yes, in Jefferson County, the PPP loan program has been successful for a number of businesses. And actually, I just heard this from our colleague over at the Clallam EDC, but the president has signed the PPP Expansion Act that just happened this afternoon. So, folks, you heard it here first on Filter. that will expand the PPP program and add greater flexibility to it. So it'll take, the eligibility window from 8 weeks, out to 12. Anyway.
And so the PPP is Paycheck Protection Program, right?
So, sorry.
And so the money, I'd heard of it, and I think I knew that was the acronym of it, but it's specifically for employers to pay to their employees money to do that.
Yep.
Is that what it was?
That's exactly it, man. The purpose of the program is to keep a business that's been impacted by COVID, whether or not they're even open, to have funds to keep their employees going, and essentially stay off unemployment, and certainly for the business, reducing the risk of those employees having to seek employment elsewhere. And then after a period of time, up to 100% of that loan is forgiven, so it becomes a grant. There's some eligibility components that go with that. You have to maintain, a certain percentage of your workforce throughout that period. That's been a big deal for a lot of businesses. Now, a lot of the, like so many, government programs right now, the plane is being built as it's being flown, and that is also with the PPP program. So there's a lot of questions that have come up that we don't have definitive answers to, but our job is to help find that for folks. And so we work real close with our regional SBA office. We also have a fantastic resource with our SBDC advisor, who prior to this COVID outbreak was doing office hours at the Business Resource Center, where the Chamber and the EDC are co-located. So Mike Rykoff, if you're out there in Radio Land, big shout out to you and your team for everything you're doing. It's a good program for the right situations. A lot of businesses have been able to take advantage of it. It's being expanded.
And you don't have to pay it back, right? There's something about you don't have to actually pay this loan back.
Right, yeah. So it's a loan.
I mean, some people do, right?
Well, some people do, may have to pay a portion of it back, but up to 100% of it can be forgiven if eligibility requirements are met. So that's pretty powerful. And I neglected to mention, too, the loan actually goes through your bank. So most banks are participating in this PPP program. It's their money they're lending. The SBA or Uncle Sam is co-signing on the loan to guarantee it. And then the bank is helping their clients who have accessed the program also at the end of the eligibility period, go through the application, if you will, for the forgiven portion of it. To my banker friends, I know I'm butchering that process in the spoken word, but, certainly reach out to your banker if you haven't already about the PPP program. So, again, big shout out to a number of banks in no particular order, Kitsap Bank, Sound Community Bank, First Federal, First Security Bank, and others who have been big on helping people with the PPP program.
Well, thank you for talking to us about that. I got some more questions for you. We were talking about all the different loans that were available to small business owners in Jefferson County to help them, and I mean all over the country, to be fair. And I guess I'm curious, can you give us a state of the nation for Jefferson County's economy? Can you tell us what position we're in, what we can, I don't know, what does that question mean to you, I guess? I'll clarify if you need me to.
Yeah, no, I think I can take a stab at it, and you can guide me to salvation if I get off track. Obviously Jefferson County has been hard hit. When the first round of unemployment numbers came out a couple weeks ago, we were one of the top counties, and that not in a good way in terms of the unemployment. And so, if I had to crack a beer and extrapolate, I would guess, it has to do with, the unique sectors and the profile of our county. We're a county that is doggedly resilient. I can think of so many individuals and especially young professionals who work, frankly, multiple jobs to be able to live here because, unfortunately, our cost of living and housing is a key challenge. And I know our elected leaders are really working hard on that and trying to crack that nut in a meaningful way. But, these are things you and I have talked about quite a bit, I know.
Yeah.
That adds to the grit and the character of Jefferson County. And but it also, I think, reflects in those unemployment numbers a sector that came to almost a grinding halt. Was our tourism sector. And that's a big part of our identity here. We all live here. One thing I love about this community is we all live here because deliberately, nobody is trapped or haphazardly here.
Some of my friends are trapped here, but yeah.
I haven't met them.
Shout out to you guys who are trapped here. I know you're out there, but.
Yep. But for the most part,
you're right.
Deliberately want to live here, and we'll do what we can to stay here. So, and with that, I mean, we have these pockets of sectors that are more certainly not immune to these economic tidal waves, but are able to keep chugging through them. I think of our friends in the manufacturing sector. I mean, there's some remarkable manufacturing going on of really high tech stuff. We've got a local.
Give me an example.
A local firm that I like to. I've had the privilege to work with over the years, even before I came to EDC Team Jefferson, is Atlas Technologies, and they make ultra high vacuum research chambers. So they make equipment that goes to these national laboratories smart people and, you know, a lot of research money, and they're working on stuff like the God particle, you know, or other cool stuff like that.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
I mean, that's just one example of some of the really cool stuff that's happening here. But we've also got, you know, kind of historically, I'm trying to think of the right word, you know, classic metallurgy going on here. You know, the PT Foundry.
Oh, yeah, Pete Langley.
Yeah, exactly. Pete and Kathy are doing some really cool stuff made right here. And talk about a business that's really mindful of the materials they used and how they source them and how things can be reused and repurposed. If you really want an engaging discussion,
yeah.
Buy one of them a beer sometime. and they'll tell you about some of the cool stuff going on. Tech is a big thing here. Another EDC board member, Gage Passafera, he works within the tech sector and helps with a lot of, frankly, smart folks who live where they want to live and, you know, work where they want to live, making some cool, you know, software and things like that. So
that's right.
Those are some of the sectors that are, you know, it's a little less volatile than the tourism sector. They don't enjoy the valley, or they don't experience the valleys, but maybe not the peaks as well when these economic shocks come to the system, but they're certainly feeling it. Back to some of the challenges we have with the tourism sector is, you know, no tourists, obviously, that creates a challenge. And a lot of restaurants, I was just so heartened, for lack of a better term, with restaurants out there. Ichikawa is one example of really just pivoting and doing their best to adapt to, you know, the stranglehold of this COVID lockdown, and still serve the good food they have and, really do their best to keep feeding all of us, but, keep the lights on as well. So,
hey, speaking of pivoting back, I forgot to ask you a question before the break, sort of about those loan programs. And Eric Elliott actually hit me up and reminded me. Or told me to ask this question. I was like, oh, it was on my sheet, but I skipped it. So what is the status? Tell us about the Working Washington loans and what's the deal? What's the deal with those? And when are business owners expecting to see any money come from the state level?
Yes, great question. And once again, you heard it here first on Filter. I just got an email from the Department of Commerce. Governor Inslee has just signed and approved Jefferson County's Working Washington Small Business Emergency
Woo-hoo!
Grant. So
breaking
now
news.
It's official. I believe, now I'm going to, this is going to be foot and mouth if this doesn't happen.
Yeah, Eric's listening right
getting,
now. So.
I know. Eric, I love you, man. I hope I'm able to deliver some good news. I should get the list of awardees this afternoon, and you best believe I will send that out to everyone as soon as I receive that. I do know that we had a total of 154,000 and change of grants awarded for Jefferson County. So I'm really excited about that money getting out there. And this is grants. This is Governor Inslee shook loose a pile of funding a few months ago to be dispersed by grants, and the Department of Commerce has been working through those. And even though there's been significant delays that none of us expected, including Commerce, I really got to give them my appreciation for, what they've been doing across the state. Because we submitted, we had over 250 folks apply in Jefferson County, which per capita was one of the higher packages. But we're on the smaller end in terms of all the counties across the state. So they've gone through each application and made their decision. Their decision based on that. So even though there's been delays, I'm really grateful for their work on that, and I'm excited to send that email out as soon as it's given. But I just heard today that the governor has approved them. So
that's great. That's great.
Yep.
Well, hey, we're just about out of time here, Brian. So if you have any final words for the two listeners out there of Filter. there is probably Eric, and then it's my wife. Oh, I count my kids too.
There you go. So supporting daddy. Yeah. Thank you again for having me on here. Congratulations on this new program. A hearty cheers to, Phil and, the Toss Salad Show. If you want to find out more about the EDC and what we do, check us out at edcteamjefferson.org. We're also on Facebook. And then I want to close with a program that the Chamber of Jefferson County has led that we're participating with. It's called Jeffco Cares, and it's a pledge for business owners and citizens alike, but businesses to pledge to keep their employees and their customers safe as we come out of this COVID crisis. There is an actual pledge you can sign up for, and there'll be signage we'll be handing out on Monday. Go to jeffcocares.com to check that out and spread the love. You know, we're going to get through this, and I'm excited to do what I do and work with small businesses to help them out as best as possible. And they have my respect and my appreciation every day for everything they do to put it on the line for our community.
And kudos to you, Brian. Even though you're not a Jeffco resident, you're all right by me.
I appreciate that. I'm working on it.
Yeah. We'll get you over here soon.
I know a guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know one too. Better. So thank you. And we'll talk to you again soon, I hope. Take care.
All right. Cheers. Thank
Later.
You.